MyAudiobooks.ai presents The Shock That Doesn't Hurt Yet, Four Futures for the AI Productivity Boom.
On September 3rd, 2026, the Bureau of Labor Statistics published a quarterly release that almost nobody outside the economics profession will ever read. And it contained three numbers that belong together in a way that should make anyone who works for a living stop and think. Number one, American labor productivity, output per hour worked, rose 2.2% over the past year, continuing a three-year run of growth well above the previous decade's pace. Number two, real hourly compensation, what the average hour of work actually buys after inflation, fell 3.3% in the quarter. Number three, corporate unit profits, profit per unit of output, jumped at an annualized rate of 43%, the fastest surge in 5 years.
More produced per hour. Workers paid less in real terms. Profits up 43%. And underneath all three, a fourth number that ties them together, the labor share, the slice of everything America produces that goes to the people who produce it, fell to 52.8%, the lowest reading since the government started measuring it in 1947. Economists have a dry name for what may be starting here, a productivity shock, a sudden change in how much an hour of work can produce. The question this article asks is the one the dry name conceals. When the shock arrives, who gets wet? Because if artificial intelligence is genuinely starting to lift what an hour of American work produces, then the United States is standing at the beginning of the sequence that every previous technology-driven productivity surge has run through. And history says the sequence is never one event. It is a story with a plot. A long, flat beginning where nothing seems to happen. A sudden blooming where the gains appear everywhere at once. And then a fight, sometimes a generation long, over who keeps them.
The eerie thing about the data right now is where we sit in that plot. The gains are arriving before the technology responsible is measurably present, and the distribution of the gains has already begun before the shock has properly started. That is not how the story usually goes. It suggests the plot this time may run faster or stranger than any of the historical scripts. At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create your own audiobooks from prompts, turn your documents into audio, all with one subscription, and store your items in your own personal library.
First, the evidence that something real is happening, because it is easy to miss how unusual the last 3 years have been. From the end of 2019 through the middle of 2026, American labor productivity has grown at an annualized rate of 2.1%, matching the long-run average of the entire post-war era and a clear break from the anemic 1.5% of the 2007 to 2019 cycle, the decade economists called the productivity stagnation. The San Francisco Fed, looking underneath the aggregate, finds the acceleration is real, but narrow. A handful of industries are pulling the average up, and industries with higher AI adoption do show faster productivity growth. Yet AI adoption still explains little of the overall shift, because adoption itself is still concentrated. The central bank conclusion is deliberately unglamorous. Something changed around 2022. AI is a plausible contributor, and it is too early to know how much.
To feel why a 2.1% trend matters, remember what came before it. The decade from the financial crisis to the pandemic was the great productivity drought. The smartphone arrived, the cloud arrived, the app economy remade daily life, and measured productivity growth sagged to 1.5% a year, the slowest sustained pace of the modern era. Economists offered theories for the paradox. The new technologies were fun but shallow. The gains were hiding in free services that gross domestic product cannot see. the easy growth from educating the workforce and building highways had simply been harvested.
The deepest version of the puzzle involves a number called total factor productivity, the portion of growth that cannot be explained by more capital or more labor, the residual that measures roughly how much smarter the economy gets rather than how much bigger. In the drought years, the residual nearly vanished. The economy was adding inputs and getting outputs in proportion, like a factory running extra shifts, rather than finding better ways to work. A productivity shock, in the language of the residual, is the moment the smarter growth engine restarts. And the 3-year uptick in the current data is the first sustained sign of that restart since the drought began.
Now the evidence about how little of the technology has actually arrived. The most careful survey of the corporate world yet conducted, nearly 6,000 executives across the United States, Britain, Germany, and Australia, published as an NBER working paper, finds that AI has had limited measurable impact on jobs or productivity so far. But the same executives forecast over the next 3 years a 1.4% productivity boost, a 0.8% output rise, and a 0.7% employment cut from AI. Read those three forecasts together, and you see the shape of the expected shock. More output produced more efficiently with fewer workers. The firms expecting this are not futurists. They are the people signing the purchase orders.
Meanwhile, the Bank for International Settlements, in its 2026 annual report, estimates task-level efficiency gains from AI of 20 to 50% in exposed work, and notes that the American sectors most exposed are already showing exactly the pattern the survey predicts: stronger productivity alongside weaker employment growth.
Hold those two facts side by side, because their conjunction is the whole story. The productivity is arriving early and narrow. The distribution is arriving earlier and narrower. Real compensation is falling, while profits surge at the fastest rate in 5 years, and the labor share has ground down to a 79-year low, all before AI has meaningfully shown up in the productivity statistics. Whatever is driving the wedge between what workers produce and what workers earn, it is operating ahead of the technology that is supposed to drive it. The shock has a prequel, and the prequel is about who captures gains, not who creates them.
The labor share has a history that makes the current reading starker. For most of the post-war era, the split between workers and owners was remarkably stable. Around 63 to 65% of output went to labor, the rest to capital. A ratio steady enough that economists treated it almost as a constant of nature. Then, around the year 2000, the ratio began to slide. Slowly at first, then persistently, through booms and recessions alike, in the United States and across most of the rich world. Entire conferences have been devoted to explaining the slide. Globalization, the decline of unions, the rise of superstar firms with tiny workforces and giant margins, the cheapening of capital goods, the growth of intangible assets that reward owners but never show up as wages.
By 2019, the labor share had eroded into the high 50s. The September reading, 52.8%, the lowest in the 79-year series, is therefore not a cliff, but a continuation, a 25-year erosion, arriving at a record low precisely as the biggest productivity technology in a generation starts to scale. The prequel was already written. The shock is just turning the page faster.
At myaudiobooks.ai, you can listen to this story and thousands of others that explore the hidden science and mechanics behind the headlines. So what happens next? History offers four scripts, and the honest answer is that nobody knows which one we are in. but each has a signature you can watch for.
The first script is electricity. When electric motors arrived in American factories in the 1880s and 90s, productivity barely budged for 40 years because the gains required not a new machine, but a new way of organizing work. Factories rebuilt around unit drive instead of steam shafts and line shafts. Workflows redesigned from the floor up. The boom came only in the 1920s, when the reorganization finally matured, and it was broad, diffuse, and shared. Wages rose with output across the economy. The electricity script says the current stall is a reorganization lag. Firms are bolting AI onto old workflows, the way factories once bolted motors onto steam layouts. And the real gains arrive only when work is redesigned around the new capability.
If that is the script, the 2030s could be a golden decade of broad-based growth, and the current distribution wedge is a temporary artifact of the lag. Economists call the underlying pattern the productivity J-curve, an initial period of invisible investment, reorganizing, retraining, rebuilding processes that depresses measured gains before they accelerate. The J-curve has a cruel accounting trick at its heart. The investment phase is expensive and visible in costs, while the payoff is distant and invisible in output. A company rebuilding its workflows around AI is spending real money on software, consultants, training, and failed pilots, all of which show up in today's statistics as costs, while the redesigned operations that would justify them show up years later as output.
Measured across a whole economy, the investment phase can actually look like stagnation. The current uptick in the electricity script would mean the economy is already climbing the J-curve's far side, or more skeptically, that the curve's dip was shallower this time because the technology spreads through software rather than through rebuilt factory floors, and software reorganizes in quarters rather than decades.
The second script is steam, and it is the darkest. The first 60 years of the Industrial Revolution in Britain produced enormous gains in output, and almost no gains for workers. Historians call the period from roughly 1780 to 1840 the Engels Pause. Wages stagnated, hours lengthened, conditions in the new factories were infamous, and the profits of mechanization accumulated to the owners of the machines. Only after two generations, and labor movements, franchise expansions, and factory acts, did wages begin rising with productivity. The steam script says the wedge between production and compensation is not a bug of the early shock, but its defining feature. The gains flow to capital first, and labor share is recovered only through decades of political conflict.
The 79-year low in labor share in this script is not an anomaly to be explained away. It is the opening paragraph.
The third script is the internet. The mid-90s to mid-2000s brought a genuine productivity bloom, the strongest since the post-war golden age, powered by computing, networking, and the reorganization of retail, logistics, and back-office work. The gains were real, but lopsided. They flowed disproportionately to the technology sector, to the highly skilled, and to capital, while the middle of the wage distribution hollowed out in the phenomenon economists came to call polarization, growth at the top and the bottom of the job market, with the routine middle automated away. The internet script says the AI shock will look like the last one. Genuine prosperity, unevenly shared, with the gains visible in aggregate statistics and invisible in the median paycheck.
The 43% profit surge in the current data fits this script uncomfortably well. And the fourth script is the one no model captures, because it is the possibility that the measurement itself is the story. Maybe the shock stays statistically invisible while changing everything. Work restructured, tasks resorted, entry-level rungs quietly removed from ladders, without the aggregate numbers ever producing a clean AI effect that a chart can show.
The Nobel laureate Robert Solow joked in 1987 that you could see the computer age everywhere except in the productivity statistics. The joke took 15 years to stop being true.
The invisible script says the joke may already be running again, this time about the jobs rather than the output. You can see the AI age everywhere except in the data. Because the data was built to measure an economy of tasks and hours, not an economy of capabilities quietly repriced.
Which script are we in? The strongest case against the prequel reading comes from the electricity camp. The wedge may be a temporary artifact of reorganization, closing on its own as the shock matures. And that countercase deserves its chance, which is precisely why the article ends in signatures rather than a verdict. Three findings would narrow it, the falsifiers that could prove any one script wrong, and each is observable in the next few years. First, diffusion. If the San Francisco Fed's narrow productivity leadership broadens, if the acceleration spreads from a few industries to most of the economy, as AI adoption spreads, the electricity script is winning, and the gains will eventually be broad enough to argue about sharing.
The historical pattern has a name here, too. The diffusion lag. The gap between a technology's invention and its spread through the whole economy, which for steam, electricity, and computing each ran to decades. Every productivity shock is really two events. The arrival, which happens in labs and headlines, and the diffusion, which happens in a million ordinary workplaces, deciding the new thing is finally worth the trouble. The watch statistic is not what the frontier firms do. It is what the 50-employee distributor in Ohio does. And the diffusion lag is why the survey evidence about intentions matters more than the headlines about breakthroughs.
Second, the wage line. If real compensation turns up as productivity keeps rising, if the current 3.3% quarterly decline proves to be an inflation artifact rather than a structural wedge, the Engels pause is avoided. If compensation keeps falling while profits compound, the steam script is underway, and the politics of the coming decade will be the politics of reclaiming labor share.
Third, the entry level. If hiring data shows the rungs disappearing at the bottom of white-collar ladders, fewer junior analysts, paralegals, associates, coordinators, the tasks AI absorbs first, while senior employment holds, then the polarization script is confirming, and the first fight will be over who even gets to start a career. The early readings are already uncomfortably pointed. The executive survey's forecast of a 0.7% employment cut is not a mass unemployment scenario. It is something subtler, a thinning at the bottom of the ladder that barely moves the headline unemployment rate while quietly eliminating the first jobs of a generation.
The BIS finds the same asymmetry in the current data. The sectors most exposed to AI are not shrinking overall. They are growing productivity while slowing hiring, which is what a ladder looks like when its bottom rungs are being sawn off one at a time. A shock that arrives as a hiring freeze for the young and a productivity boom for the established would not feel like a crisis. It would feel like a door closing quietly in a hallway nobody was watching.
There is a last layer to the story, and it is the one the statistics cannot settle. Distribution is not automatic. It is institutional. The post-war decades, when productivity and wages rose together, were not a natural state. They were built, with unions that could bargain industry-wide, a minimum wage that ratcheted the floor upward, antitrust enforcement that limited how much margin any firm could hoard, and tax codes that recycled the winnings. The steam era's grim split ended the same way. Not when the machines changed, but when the rules around them did. If the AI shock follows the steam or internet scripts, the resolution will not come from the technology either.
It will come from the boring machinery of wage floors, bargaining rights, competition policy, and tax law.
The levers that decide whether a productivity gain becomes a dividend or a displacement. The data can show the wedge opening. It cannot close it.
It is worth saying what this article has not claimed. It has not claimed that AI caused the current distribution wedge. The data shows productivity up, compensation down, and profits surging. But the causal attribution to AI specifically is unproven, and this article has labeled it accordingly throughout. It has not claimed the labor share decline must continue. It is a reading, not a destiny. It has not claimed any of the four scripts is inevitable. They are patterns from 3 centuries of industrial history, offered as lenses, not prophecies. And it has not claimed the shock is bad news in aggregate. The arithmetic of productivity growth is the only arithmetic that has ever made societies durably richer. The question the data raises is not whether the gains are real.
It is who gets them and who decides.
Which returns to the 3 numbers from the September release, because together they form the exact shape of the opening scene in every previous script. Production rising, compensation falling, profits compounding. Every prior productivity shock began with some version of that triangle, and every prior shock resolved it differently, through reorganization, through conflict, through polarization, or through measurement arguments that took 15 years to settle. The Bureau of Labor Statistics cannot tell us which resolution is coming. It can only publish the triangle, quarter after quarter, and let the country argue about what it means. The shock is real. It has started, and its defining feature so far is the one nobody ordered. It does not hurt yet, unless you already know where to look.
At myaudiobooks.ai, you can create fiction, nonfiction, and turn your documents into audio, all stored in one place with a single subscription. Plus, get instant access to thousands of audiobooks and deep dive investigations. Learn more today at myaudiobooks.ai. This concludes the audiobook narration. Thank you for listening.